Famies, welcome back to Almost Fameless, a very special episode of Almost Fameless. Not only is Galentine's Day coming, so we thought we'd do a fun little girly romantic rom-com episode, but it's also Galentine's Day because, babies, you asked about him. We got our first guest, former producer, my favorite gay, my second favorite Canadian after Ryan Gosling.
Ooh.
The one, the only, Liam Garrow.
Oh, Liam. Oh my God. What an intro. And also, by the way, I'll say this. I'll take two behind Gosling. What a lovely ranking.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than him.
It truly doesn't. Yeah.
Wow. Wait, you know that I have a weird sort of like secondhand story connection to him.
No.
Because, so the thing about Ryan Gosling is that he is from a small town in Canada called Cornwall. Cornwall, which famously is referred to as the armpit of Canada. This is because it was largely like a mill town, so like not a super affluent area. And then also when the mill shut down, it then like really had nothing. So it's like always been this tiny town that struggled. But he's from there and I have a lot of family there. And wow. So my cousin Erin said she bumped into him at a bar like when he would have been like 18, 19. So this is this is definitely post Young Hercules, but obviously pre him being so famous, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And said he was such a dick because he was doing this like this very like, I think very like hetero male thing of like, my version of being funny is I just am going to constantly try to one up you. And so it's always that thing of like, it almost was like the Kristen Wiig Penelope character of like every time someone says something, it's like, well, actually I have a million of those. Like he was doing that a lot with people and kind of like a bit of a braggart. But I also think that's like, I can tell you he's someone who's probably had like a personal come to Jesus moment. And I think he's like rid himself of those behaviors. Cause I feel like he's someone who actually really legitimately kind of struggled for quite a while actually to get a foothold in the American side of the industry. And I think that, and I actually do think that really humbled him. And I think when he sort of like became famous on, you know, your side of the border, he was kind of like, guys, I'm actually so grateful.
Yeah. I mean, Liam, if this was you trying to get into the number one spot, it was a sad attempt.
I think it worked. I think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think everyone, I can hear everyone writing in saying that I'm number one for them.
All right. So, for today's episode, we are going to do kind of like our Christmas episode, but we're going to do this with rom-coms, so we're going to do our Mount Rushmores, and we're each going to give our Mount Rushmore, which I feel like we've all talked about before. I have memories of us sitting in Arisha's living room trying to do our Mount Rushmore.
With cheesecake,
and I'm like, it's time. It's time we name our Mount Rushmores.
Yeah.
We've waited too long.
And also, you know what? The emails I've gotten, the letters I've gotten...
people keep
ask Jeevesing me about this, and so it's time. It's time.
It is time.
Yeah.
The sketcher is ready, or the etcher, the ones that are gonna sculptors. They're sculptors. That's what they do. The sculptors are ready.
Yes.
For Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
All
right. So first category is just rom-com movie Mount Rushmore.
Bless.
So your four best rom-coms. But let me ask you guys before we start, because of course I was lying in bed thinking about this last night. Are we doing our personal Mount Rushmore or what we think the general consensus Mount Rushmore is?
I see what you're saying. My interpretation of the ask, if you will, was my personal personal Rushmore.
Yeah, I agree.
Arisha?
I agree.
Perfect. That's what we'll do.
Amazing.
All right. Let's start with Arisha.
Me?
Yes.
Oh my God, come on.
Well, I'm leading this, and I don't want to throw our guest in the deep end, so it's got to be you.
I mean, you listen, first of all, I mean, you are talking to someone who famously was a producer, so you had best believe I'm ready.
I know, and I know.
And you're like, and we've been knowing.
I think we should do Liam first, because I don't know all of mine yet.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, his might inform mine, so go ahead.
So I will kick things off, and I will say, you know, because you have given me a bit of a tease around which categories we'll be discussing today. And I will say, interestingly, and I only pieced this together when I was looking over this list, the number four slots, because I have ranked them, the number four slots across all categories, definitely, like, very much... potentially a controversial pick. I'm going to be honest.
Same.
I'm going to be like, again, personal to me. And also the number three slots for all my picks. Fucking wild cards, y'all.
Well, I was not for the movie category, but for actor, actress. I'm like, my fourth is like, I'm not 100% positive. So it's mm-hmm. going to be somebody that might cause an argument.
Well, and that's what we're here for. So exactly. On that note. So my, yeah. Okay, number four slot for Never Been Kissed. So again, controversial because mm-hmm. I think given themes that have emerged in that film, we look back on it with a slightly different lens. That movie, of course, is Never Been Kissed.
Correct. Mm.
It is, of course, skeezy that Michael Bartan playing this adult teacher is,
yeah,
finds himself right. falling in love with a high, he doesn't realize adult age Drew Barrymore, but to his mind initially, she's just a teenager in his class.
His dick knows.
100%.
And that's what I tell myself. He knows.
Great. And so, but the reason why is because I think like it does such a great job of walking the line of, I think, being like such an affecting movie and also being like perfectly sudsy. It's like this mm-hmm. nice little mm-hmm. middle ground, because you know, Drew Barrymore has such a knack for is like, I always say, when she cries and when Sally Field cries, the world cries. Like, she, like, when she's, like, saying, I'm not Josie yeah. Grossi anymore, like, that's so...
I'm not Josie Grossi anymore.
Like, when they fucking, like, I don't know, egg her and she's so excited to go to prom or whatever the fuck happens, yeah. like, oh.
Or whatever the fuck.
You know? But, like, that for me is, I look back, there's so much, we get to see Molly Shannon in a fun supporting role. Like, it ticks a lot of boxes yeah. for me.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I also, Brooke, am on your side where I'm like, I've just decided that Michael Vartan psychically yeah. knows something's afoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Third, number three, bit of a wild card. Are we privy to the film Plus One?
Is it a Netflix movie?
No. It's possibly oh, okay. on. It is possibly on Netflix. Also okay. watching a Netflix movie and I have no fucking idea. But
No. It's on Netflix. Okay. Yes, I know this movie.
Yes, Maya Erskine and Jack Quaid, of course, son of rom-com legend Meg Ryan.
Oh.
So I
thought you were going to say Dennis Quaid.
So well, did I.
Well, that is their baby together, Jack Quaid.
I did not know that Dennis Quaid, I didn't know they had a baby together.
What?
Wait, who did you say was the mom?
Meg Ryan.
Wow, I know that.
Jack Quaid was Dennis Quaid's son, but I don't think I realized his mom.
Wow,
was...
Meg Ryan. Well, now you know.
Crazy stuff.
And also when you look at Jack Quaid's face, you're going to be like, oh my God, that's Meg Ryan's face on that man's face. But the reason I'm including this one, I think it's like a great contemporary pick because I don't know, and we can maybe get into this now or later, but like, I think the modern day rom-coms, they don't always scratch the itch, let's be honest.
They literally never scratch the itch. Correct. Let's be honest.
And so I think the fact that this is an example of one where I'm like, these feel like real people out in the world. They're like there's a nice conflict. We root for them. They're both very mm-hmm. winning. I think it's a great, like, it's a good modern one for people if they haven't seen it.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two, it's a classic. No one's going to be surprised. This is probably in any of our Mount Rushmore's, but for Christ's sakes, When Harry Met Sally. And, you know, and also...
Arisha and I just took the biggest sigh.
Whoa.
I know it's on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah.
It will never be on mine.
Mine either.
But I respect it.
It might be on one of my lists, and that's going to be on the burn book. So we'll get there later.
Whoa. Ooh,
shots okay. fired.
<Here's laughs> Maybe not, but...
Well, first of all, R.I.P. Rob Reiner. And also...
Yes, of course. God. I don't want to besmirch that.
No, of course. But the reason I think it's like... I think that movie, in a really big way, obviously also written by the brilliant Nora Ephron, also R.I.P. Mm-hmm. But like, she, I think, really gave voice to that a rom-com really could be an intelligent movie. Because I think rom-coms kind of previous to that or just like... Yeah, and I actually don't even know if they would have been called rom-coms per se, but like, you know, if you even think about like Doris Day, Rock Hudson, and those movies from the 60s, and like, it's all very light, frothy, and no one's really thinking them seriously as movies, but I feel like now all of a sudden we were seeing like super, like, neurotic, very conflicted, like, struggling to piece their personal lives together people, like, trying to find love and cynical about being in love, and like, that was so, I think... exciting to be like, oh, look at these, like, frankly, quite on the surface pulled together, but quite struggling to keep it together people inside. Like, watching them find love, like, it kind of was like, oh, wait, smart people can also fall in love, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it also showed that two romantic leads in a rom-com can have zero chemistry and a movie can still be successful.
Now, I think we can agree the weak point of When Harry Met Sally is Harry, because...
Well, yeah. Those two just don't do it for me together.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Agreed, and you would think then, Liam, why is it your number two pick? I understand that I love it in spite of that, but I also love it because, you know, like, wow, that a movie in the 80s, like, that was the culture that, you know what, Billy Crystal, you are going to be a romantic lead, and that the world said, okay. Mm-hmm. The world said, we love you in the sweater. Great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wasn't originally going to be the lead. He had to like ask Rob Reiner to be.
Oh.
And they were friends. And I don't remember, we talked about this on a different podcast. I don't remember who was like supposed to play or like who the front runner was. But then they were friends and he ended up giving it to him. So.
Interesting. Wow. Well, I mean, and that's history, as they say.
That is history. All right. What's your number one pick?
Number one. Now, this is going to be maybe not. It's a total rom-com, even though I don't think it really lives in like the zeitgeist of rom-coms. But Moonstruck.
Oh.
Oh my God! My mom was just watching that in Chicago. She loves that movie.
Okay, so just as like a quick like beat sheet for people, if you're not familiar. Starring Cher and Nicolas Cage, is the movie that won Cher her Oscar. Also, like, so novel that people would win for a rom-com, right? Like, that never happens.
Yeah.
The reason why I think this movie's so... It's, like, in some strange way, also very of its era, and, like, it's a very Italian ethnic comedy. It's, like, it's very, like, New York Italian, very, like, cynical about love. No one really believes in it. Everyone feels like they've been really hard done by it. And then, like, by the end of the movie, you have all these cynics who have converted, and they are just, like, falling over each other because they're like, no, wait, we love each other, and that's what life is all about. And you're like, and it's all scored by Puccini, for Christ's sakes. Like, it's, you know, like, it's such a lush movie. And if I could give anyone a hot tip, a perfect night in, throw on Moonstruck, pour yourself a glass of red wine, and have a big old plate of spaghetti.
Wow.
Moonstruck is the movie... I don't know that they do this anymore because I don't really watch movies the way that I used to, but they would often have like trailers or ads for the production company where they'd be like,
oh my God,
MGM means great movies. And it would be like clips from all kinds of the movies that they've made. And there was always the clip from Moonstruck where Cher says,
snap out of it.
Yes. I've still never seen the movie, but I know that so well.
That is also, I mean, that is also movie canon because it is so obvious that is a real slap.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people forget it's a double slap and she like wails the fuck out of him. It's so great.
I mean, how often are you in a situation where you can slap somebody with no consequences?
Exactly.
That's why I'm in LA.
Yeah, exactly. I think probably now people would love it if Cher just absolutely backhanded them. It would be my guess.
Yeah, well, she did that to Bowen Yang and Ariana Grande on the when they did the promotion for SNL.
Yes.
And they were
yes.
Cher slapped us.
Yes, exactly.
<That's funny. laughs> All right, Arisha, are you ready for your list?
I am ready.
Okay, and just a note for the group. This isn't about anyone in particular, but we got to move it along.
Okay.
That's a general. I'm just looking at the time. I was like, oh no, we gotta.
It's okay, just nice that I'm not the one getting reprimanded for once in my life, Liam. So I'm so glad you're here.
Great.
Says the woman who I woke up to a text from was like, could you please not delete notes in the app or in the
first
script?
Of all, it was a lot nicer than that.
I read it the way that Key and Peele read texts.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I read it as, good morning, you fucking bitch. Ever touch the script again and I'll cut your fucking hands off.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's how I...
Well, those were the words I used, but that's besides the point. That's not how I meant it.
So it was not only was a subtext, it was text.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I keep my subtext in the text to just avoid all kinds of confusion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also have a dissertation for each one.
Oh, good.
Just kidding. I literally was like, I was Googling them as... Because I was like, I can't remember which ones I like the most.
You're like, here's my four. That. Yeah. Next.
According to Reddit, my favorite four are. okay. So these are in no particular order. And I will caveat this by saying I've learned that sometimes there are seasons for favorites. And I'm really leaning into the nostalgia of rom-coms right now. Like the ones that really made me fall in love with rom-coms.
I'll never not do that, I think.
I don't think so either, but... So yeah. My one that I always go to, and I actually shared this yesterday in my Hallmark writing class. Liam, I'm taking a writing class for Hallmark to like pitch to Hallmark to write movies.
Amazing.
And that is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Uh-huh. That will always be. I even have a cute little picture from it in her gold dress. That's really unhelpful for people listening because they can't see what
I mean,
just pointed to.
I mean, if you don't know the gold dress, pause this fucking episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And go watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Download Google on your phone and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My second favorite I have is Sweet Home Alabama.
And lovely.
That is the one that literally I had like a visceral like falling in love with a rom-com moment with that movie. I saw it in the theaters for my birthday. Mm-hmm. I was fighting with one of my friends and her boyfriend. So just a lot of emotions tied to this movie. The Wedding Planner.
Oof.
With Brooke's best friend, J-Lo. Yeah.
Mm. I do love that movie, though.
And then I was struggling on the fourth one, but hearing the discussion about When Harry Met Sally, I'm going with America's Sweethearts.
Mm.
Oh, nice. Because
I think Billy Crystal thrives as the friend. And he wrote it. Like, it's his movie, America's Sweethearts. Mm. And I just, every part about it, I love. It's one of the movies I quote pretty regularly. So yeah, those are my four.
Can we do five?
No. You just said we got to narrow it down.
Well, I'll just really quickly list my fifth.
Are you adding this one? Is that why?
Well, because I was thinking about that one. I was thinking about America's Sweethearts when I was making my list, but I don't think it's going to make my four, sadly. Okay.
Wow.
I also lean very heavy into the nostalgia.
Yes.
Just in my life. Like, I just long for the early 2000s and the 90s. Like, it's the only thing that makes me feel sane. So mine are very similar to Arisha's. Like, they are all from that era. My first one is You've Got Mail.
Love.
I love this movie just, like, in the fall. Like,
of course.
This is such a quintessential fall movie.
When you think of the color palette of that movie, it's orange. It's a deep purple. It's a rust red, of course.
New York City in the fall. What more do you need?
It's perfection.
Crushed velvet. God bless.
And I feel the chemistry between those two. Like, one of the best enemies to lovers, in my opinion.
Great trope.
Yes. 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 So satisfying.
Next is actually... No. Okay. I'm like, okay. While You Were Sleeping. That's my next one.
The Christmas movie.
Right. That is one that.
Underrated.
It is underrated. And when I'm thinking of like, God, I really want to watch a rom-com right now. My mind goes there first a lot of the time. So that's like, it's really, you know.
I do love that movie. I just watched it over Christmas. Weirdly.
Same. I mean, I watch it very regularly. That's why when you said it was a Christmas movie, I was like, is it? Because I watch it whenever.
Right.
My next one, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Love that.
I'm with Arisha on that one.
Love that.
It's a classic. It is a classic. The gold dress.
Would you believe me if I told you I've never seen it?
Liam, call up the airport. Get a plane. Get over here. We're watching it tonight. It's sleepover night. Let's go.
Did I not just fucking say pause this goddamn episode? I didn't see you do that. I didn't see you say, hold up, I gotta go.
Well, he knows the gold dress though, right?
Of course.
He knows that at least. So he doesn't have to pause it.
And I understand the canon of, you know, her singing You're So Vain, all the girls dream that they'd be Ben's partner. You know, of course.
Yeah.
I know that her name is Abby or something.
It's
Andy
not.
Anderson.
Andy, shit.
Am I fourth?
Mm.
I'm going with Liam on Never Been Kissed.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that there were two perverts on this call.
Well now you know. And now you know.
Okay, next category. Somehow we've only done one category.
Oh my gosh. And I still want to talk to Liam, like catch up with him.
I know. Oh, I know. We haven't even done that. Okay.
Yeah. And also, I'll get ready for me. I can, like, I was prepared to burn through these.
Okay.
Liam's like burning his documents of all of his information on all of these movies.
Yeah, don't worry.
Well, our Christmas episode, we were like, wow, we went so fast. We need more stuff. And we like added categories. So I was like, but there was also only two of us. So
yeah,
there's that. Okay. Next category is your rom-com actress, Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Liam, we'll again start with you.
Number four, again, kind of a controversial pick. I think she's like a great rom-com actor, but isn't a part of like the classics per se. I'm throwing in Jennifer Aniston.
I knew you were going to say Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
I could feel it coming.
Number three, for me, this is sort of like value neutral. I think she's a classic. Does she enhance the genre? Who's to say? But Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number two, a mainstay, a classic, definitely really built the genre. Of course, Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
And number one, just because of how much she can really make us feel. Again, when she cries, you know, the world cries. Drew Barrymore. Wedding Singer, so good. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, this might be a really controversial question, and I understand that, and I take ownership of that.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think is the better pairing in a rom-com?
Okay.
Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, or Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore?
Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Oh my God, me too.
Oh,
I was expecting this because I've asked other people and they're like, oh man, I don't know. It's like, what don't you know?
I think what it is, for me at least, I prefer the Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler movies, but Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore seem to have a very close, I mean, I know he does with Jennifer Aniston too, but there's something about his relationship with Drew Barrymore outside of their movies and how many movies they've had together that just seems like there's a very long established love and relationship between them that I think I'll always lean that way.
Yeah. I think there's also something about watching people when they're younger actors falling in love. Like there's a kind of relationship as an audience you have to that maybe is different than when you're watching someone who's like now in their 40s and established and has this really big career, right? Like,
right.
You know, it feels like we're discovering it right at the beginning with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was four, right? Okay, yes. Arisha, do you have your four?
Can I abstain from this one?
No.
I hate this question.
Whoa.
Absolutely not.
Oh, my God.
Because the problem is I'm just going to name the people in the movies that I like versus, because, like, I think Meg Ryan should be on the rom-com actress Mount Rushmore, but I don't tend to like her rom-com movies. So that's what I struggle with. So it's like basically the actresses in the four movies I listed would be mine.
Listen, we always knew this experiment would yield some redundancies. We knew this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, just name your four so we don't have to remember what movies you said because I can't remember them all.
Yeah. I can't even. I mean, I have Reese Witherspoon. I was actually thinking Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
She's not in any of the ones that I've listed.
Yeah. It's so funny. She is a seminal rom-com woman. And yet, weirdly, when I think of the genre, I don't think of her. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yes. I really like My Best Friend's Wedding. I didn't say that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do like that movie. I guess, although she's in America's Sweethearts. Duh.
Yeah.
And then I guess Kate Hudson. Mm-hmm. And I can't say J-Lo because I think she's a terrible actress. Right. But she's in one of my favorite movies.
She's in two of my favorite rom-coms. So,
ugh, Made in Manhattan sucks. And I'll skip the third one because I can't think of any actresses right
now.
Wow. Okay.
Skipping it for time.
Well, that's insane. Okay. My four, I'm like shocked because I assumed this was like the general consensus of the entire world. Meg Ryan.
Yep.
Julia Roberts. I'm like, why are we even debating Julia Roberts?
I know.
It's crazy.
But I understand that I'm operating from the place like I know I'm flawed for that, you know?
She would like my first three. I'm like, oh, I'm certain we're all saying this. And like then I'm like, oh, wow. OK, that's crazy. Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Is my third. And then my fourth is Drew Barrymore.
There, boom.
Again, I agree with you on Drew Barrymore. And I was like, I know Arisha's not going to think Drew Barrymore. So I'm like, is Drew Barrymore a crazy pick? But I'm like, no.
I think she is.
A crazy pick?
She's done enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of what I look at it. How to decide.
Yeah, I'm like, if you're in a good, like, that's why I can't say Kate Hudson. Because for me, she's pretty much just How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days as far as rom-coms go.
Right, that's why I'm like,
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was why it's I struggled because it's like I don't generally like the movies that I would consider actress Mount Rushmores to be in, but I can recognize their influence on the culture.
Right.
And Drew Barrymore would definitely be on that.
Right. Okay. Next up, obviously, is rom-com actors.
Mm-hmm.
Liam, do you want to start this one?
We're going to kick off with an honorable mention. Luke Wilson, I think, has an understated charm.
Oh, wow.
You know? I know. Mm. I know.
That's a wild pick, but I can see the vision.
Well, speaking of wild picks, number four, even though I don't think he's in good rom-coms, I think he's like great in the genre, Gerard Butler.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. He is, yeah.
Three, Jude Law.
Oh, wow.
I know.
These are like coming from left, right.
I know. I told you.
Above us.
This list is really unhinged.
Guys, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to win, okay?
I don't know what you think you're winning.
Number two, and Arisha, you're going to really respect this pick, Josh Lucas.
Oh, I love Josh Lucas.
Yes. Ugh. I mean, of course. And then number one, God love him, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's so sweet.
Even though he hated being in those rom-coms, he was so great and lovable in them.
Yes.
He is just a wonderful human to me.
100%. What a wonderful human. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's like the Rob Reiner of acting. Because like reading Rob Reiner's long list, like his resume of all the movies he's directed, such insane variety.
There's so much range.
And I feel like Mark Ruffalo, similarly, like he's done rom-coms, he's done action movies.
You've been the Hulk.
Yeah.
And he's like an Oscar-nominated actor. And you're like, great.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Good choices.
Thank you.
Really left fieldies.
I thought they might be.
I'm also going to say Josh Lucas just because I love him in that movie.
Yes.
I will say this is also hard and I would prefer to skip, but I will push through.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling.
Arisha.
What? Crazy Stupid Love. I love that movie.
That's literally one kind of rom-com that Ryan Reynolds was in.
La La Land. I hate that movie too, but he was great in that.
That's not a rom-com.
Listen, there's no judging people's choices. These are my choices. These are who I'm picking.
No, there is. You have to pick people from rom-coms. That's the
You're
whole
like,
thing.
This is a friendship built on the foundation of just judgment. Sorry.
Because I remember you saying him before, and I was like,
yeah, I'm sticking with him.
Go for it.
I will. That's what I'm saying.
The sculptors will quit.
They're already quitting. They're like this.
Oh, my God.
We asked for your list 45 minutes ago. And you guys are still going over it.
And also, we are not being paid enough for this job.
Volunteer. Okay. Josh Lucas, Ryan Gosling, Matthew McConaughey. And I genuinely can't think of a fourth person.
I'm surprised it's not like Vin
Diesel.
This
is the format for your own show. I love how you're like.
I never like these actress and actors. These are the ones that I'm like, I don't like. So yeah, I'll give you three.
All right, then I'll do five. I think that's only fair to make up for one for Arisha.
No, four. We got to push through time.
All right. Mine are so different. So.
Okay.
John Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because I just adore John Cusack.
I can't believe you didn't name Serendipity. Yeah.
I mean, that's not what I can't put that in the Mount Rushmore of rom-coms. Mm. I love it, but that just, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I can.
If we're being honest, it's mid-tier.
I mean, I love the movie. I'm going to put Mark Ruffalo in because I just want to, I want to bang him so bad in 13 Going on 30.
I know. You just want to be like roll around with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks has been very absent from this conversation.
He has.
Let's put some respect on Tom Hanks's name. Yeah.
And I think he deserves to be in the Mount Rushmore of actors for rom-coms.
Yeah. Would agree.
If it's a Mount Rushmore for like general, but we're doing just our personal, but for general, yeah, obviously he would go on it.
Yeah. Of course.
And then fourth, this one's hard. This is hard for me because like fourth, I'm like, it could be a couple people, you know?
Okay.
I'm gonna go, and this is crazy.
Go ahead.
Adam Sandler.
Nice. Lovely.
I don't think that's that crazy.
I love a lot of his rom-coms. And, like, he's not somebody I typically am like, oh, that's a rom-com lead. But, like, he is. And then I'm gonna give an honorable mention to Hugh Grant.
I was literally just gonna say Hugh Grant. I think I might. Because I do love, the early aughts of his rom. About a boy. No, I like 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, I love 2 weeks notice too.
It's one of my favorites.
And he really did carve out like such a specific niche in the 90s, right? Of like the bumbling mm-hmm. British romantic mm-hmm. lead. Like mm-hmm. the Hugh Grant type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is one I didn't tell you guys, but I was thinking about it last night. Do you have a favorite romantic movie? Like the movie you think is like the most romantic movie of all time. Doesn't have to be a comedy.
Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah. The movie Amelie.
Oh, my.
That French movie.
I do not know that movie.
I know it.
Too highbrow.
I remember when it came out in like the early aughts, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like 2000.
I just remember the cover. Yeah, yeah. I've never seen it, I don't think.
Of course. And that like that iconic bowl cut.
Yeah. Doesn't she have like a red dress or something in the cover?
Oh, I don't remember. But yeah. Oh, maybe.
Arisha, do you have one?
Of course not.
Are you Googling something?
I was trying to look up Amelie to see if it was the cover I was thinking of. I don't even know how to think about this one. So you go first, and I'll think about it while you're going.
Imagine Brooke was like, basic instinct.
This might be cliche, and I think it is cliche for a reason, because I do think this is the most romantic movie of all time, The Notebook.
Okay.
I love their chemistry. It makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
It's a story of timeless, unconditional love. And it's got Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams. I mean, what more can you do?
Yeah.
Really lifting her up in that for that kiss. Just like really grabbing her.
There's a reason it won Best Kiss. And I watch that video at least a few times a year.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll go with that one too. Solely because I can't think of another one on my own.
Okay. So we do have a couple questions from Patreon. We put that in the chat to see if anybody had some questions for you specifically, us, our friendship.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. So first one is a two-parter from Chelsea. Did y'all have to do some sort of compatibility test to see if you had good chemistry? Is that even a thing in podcasting? That's the first part. I guess that's for Arisha and me, I would assume.
Oh, my God. I thought it was for the three of us.
Wondery made us take a blood oath.
Yeah.
We had to go along.
We should have taken a compatibility test with some people on the team, but.
Yeah. No one would have worked there. It would have been just this Zoom right now.
Yeah. And I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, same. But Arisha and I did do a couple auditions together. They were looking for actual friends, I think,
to combat that
problem. Even though the other two people that we were like in the running up against weren't like actual friends, which is so insane.
Yeah.
So we did a couple of auditions together so that they could see our chemistry. And then Liam, what are you up to now? Do you have your own podcast yet?
I don't have my own podcast yet. I can tell you that in the fall, so in September, I moved to London.
Yeah.
Jolly old, which is, crazy. And I'm still very much riding the wave of, like, unemployment, figuring out how to shoehorn my way into an industry that is also very competitive here and also struggling, not unlike anywhere else. But then still having, like, some momentum. So, like, I have this feature film that I wrote that's been optioned now for a little while. And so, like, that's kind of just meaning that, like, a production company has said, yes, we would like to try to, like, make this movie happen.
Nice.
And then I've written a pilot that I'm, like, developing with a producer here. So it's, like, there are irons in the fire. Mm-hmm. But you know what, babes? We're just, like, not quite making money yet. Yeah. But you know what? That's fine. And you know, we're also single. If anyone has any available gay men in London,
what is the Grindr scene like in London?
Well, I'm actually not a Grindr, wouldn't you know it, but I'm on Field.
Oh, me too.
If anyone's okay, great. I'm on Field, which is mostly like a lot of straight men being like, please, I want to be with other men. And you're like, okay, but I also want to date for realsies.
Yeah.
So it's like Craigslist.
Correct.
They're all Craigslist. They're all masquerading as these like sophisticated versions of Craigslist, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, but I think, London boys, wouldn't you know it, it's a lot of the same. But I've decided I'm just going to really hunker down, focus on the career, get blisteringly successful, and find my love through my work.
Wow. Wow. Do you think I could make money if I made a British dating app for gay men called Dick Dick Cheerio?
Ah!
Like, is that fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my app developer on the line.
I smell $1 billion coming your way. I'll tell you.
I mean,
I'll tell you
the psychics have been
new
saying,
Bumble.
Yeah.
New Bumble.
Yeah. My foray into gay dating websites or apps is I had a coworker when I worked in the hospital basement who was regularly on Grindr, and he'd like talked to somebody the night before, but then he couldn't find them and he wanted to know if he'd been blocked.
Meeting the patients.
It was one of the patients. So he had me download Grindr to like see if we could find this guy.
Oh, I remember you telling me this like such a long time ago.
Yeah. And I got more messages in like the first hour than I've gotten on any heterosexual website.
Yeah.
App. I don't know why I keep calling them websites. I'm like a 90-year-old boomer.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is I didn't have a picture. I don't even know what I put as my name. Certainly not my actual name. And it was just mind-boggling to me how people would want to meet me not even knowing what I looked like.
I mean, do you have a dick?
What if I was a serial killer?
It is a weird thing where you're like, yes, men are sexual.
They're horny as fuck.
Like, yeah. And men are really out there. Men do be wanting to just go to Pound Town. Well, let's talk about that. You know?
That's like, not to bring up Craigslist again, also. Please. Talk about a boomer alert.
I was going to say.
I used to look at the men seeking men just because it was so wild. Yeah. And the thing I learned from there is that anonymous gay sex is definitely a thing that people seem to love and like it's fun for them. So I don't think they give a shit about, like, some of them are like, I don't care if you even have a head, just come over, bend over, let's do it, you know?
Well, and for so many people, actually, the anonymity is part of the charge.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's like a kink or whatever, but
yeah.
So that checks out.
We used to put ads for each other on Craigslist in college.
That is
nice.
Such a 2000s thing to do.
It is. And what's crazy is you would get the same fucking message. And it would be like, and it was always like, I've never done this before. And it's like, really? Because you literally sent the same message to my friend and me.
Wow.
God.
That's how you get them.
Dating sucks.
Women in STEM.
Yep. Yeah.
Women in STEM.
Liam, where are you living? You're in London proper?
I am in London proper. Yeah, yeah.
Give the listeners your exact address.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, my postcode is...
It looks so pretty.
I know.
Thank you.
So we're on Zoom, obviously, and Liam's background, it's got like a big window, and it just looks like you're looking out into the grand city of London.
It's got like a wrought iron balcony.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Yeah, it's like very tiny just to like put plants there. Yeah, I'm like across the street from a middle school.
Oh, no.
And it's actually like... It was so crazy. I was like, oh, I wonder, am I going to find it like really annoying? Because you forget just how feral children are.
Yeah.
Like when they're outside and just running around and screaming. Yep. And I was like, ooh, maybe I'm going to hate this. I find, like, funnily enough, I find it so heartening. Because I'm like, they're actually like running around. They're not just like on their phones. Oh, my God.
They don't know the world is shit yet. It's so cute.
Or they do. And they're just really in an incredible state of denial. Like we all are. Maybe.
Maybe what we need is to be going outside and just running around and screaming.
Oh, no. That is 100% it.
It's like, why do we stop doing that because we become adults?
100%.
We need it more than the kids need it.
We need to all be running about like Phoebe Buffay and Friends when she just flails her limbs around.
Well, the three of us did scream on the streets in Vancouver. It just wasn't like happy.
Well,
oh my God.
I don't know that all of us screamed.
For a second, I was like, oh my God, did we all count down and scream together? Nope, we didn't.
Yeah. Like in Garden State, we were standing on the top of that truck just screaming into the abyss.
Exactly.
Oh man.
Okay, next question is from Evan. His first question is Ross a future guest? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that could be fun. He made an appearance on Fun Cut Friday, a little short cameo.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
And the next question from Evan is for Liam. And it says, what was your favorite subject from the before times? And which would you rather forget entirely? I think he means like ETR subjects. And
ETR.
Yeah.
And when he says before times, does he mean like before I was on the show or just like?
I think before we all lost our jobs.
Got it. You know, I was actually... What's really funny is, no joke, I was thinking about this morning, thinking, I wonder if someone's going to ask that. And you know which two came to mind? I really did love when we did John Waters and Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm.
That
like,
tracks.
Getting into like, yeah, totally. But also like these, frankly, very weird people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who, you know, managed to become very successful in their own right. The one that I think Is there one where I was like, one that I wish to forget? Do you know, I don't know if I have a tendency of like, if there's something I don't like, I think this is, must be a protection thing. I really do put it out of my brain. Right. This is not me trying to conveniently just like play safe here. Cause I know there was one. I remember, and this was actually something that we tried to like reconcile even in the writing of it. I thought Scarlett Johansson was a tough one because it was like tough to get into like a lot of her story. Kate Hudson too, actually, speaking of like rom-com queens, like very, like the more protected and protective people have been about their personal lives, it's obviously good for them. But like for the purpose of story, that I remember those two were just like very tough.
Yeah. For sure. Mine's probably Leonardo DiCaprio. Did we do Leonardo DiCaprio? No, I don't even remember because I get him and Tom Cruise mixed up because I remember like,
oh,
there were like 75 clips of like his movies. And I remember being like, shit about this.
That's what you would remember.
That
is so triggering right now.
I know.
Because I don't, because I'm thinking old school ETR right now and I'm completely forgetting the like newer iteration.
There was that whole component. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is from Melanie. What is your favorite thing about each other and Liam? Like a true compliment and love fest, not funny banter, which is amazing, of course.
Wow, Melanie calling is calling us out. She's like, enough of the fucking antics, you two.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm happy to start. I'll start the sincerity train.
Please.
Well, so I'll do one individually, but I want to say one thing that I admire in the both of you, and you do have this in common, you both are really good at advocating for yourselves.
Oh.
But, like, I think you both are really good, particularly in an industry that's, like, very anti that.
Mm.
And, like, it's, like, it really, it's very easy to become complacent and just kind of roll over and be like, okay, I guess I'll just take this or whatever. Like, I think you both are really good at being like, we're going to show up to the table and ask for what we think is fair. Mm-hmm. And we're going to honor our experience and we're going to, you know, I think that's really good. I think with Arisha, one thing that I think I really admire is, especially because you have a much bigger family than Brooke and I, like that you really prioritize them in your life and that you give them so much like time and attention. I think for a lot of people that would actually be very difficult, but because you've made that such a priority, like you really make that a focal point, which is so nice. Mm-hmm. And then and then Brooke, one thing that I really admire about you is like, I mean, I'm so envious that you both have such close relationships with your parents. Like, mm-hmm. that's a through line. Also, Brooke, like, I really admire, like, how industrious you've been in your life. Like even, like, with your bartending business and being, like, even when you were managing, like, when you met doing,
Valet.
I kept wanting to say chalet. That's my problem.
And I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, so for Brooke and Risha, so there's some overlap there, but I mean, I really like, those are your compliments.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I love this question because I don't even have to worry about what my answer is. It's so easy to answer this. Liam, I still think about the card you sent and the flowers you sent when my grandmother died. And just, it's so funny. It's crazy because I was literally thinking about that card a couple of days ago. Family, he sent me a card that just said 2025 can choke. I literally was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I should just change that 5 to a 6 because same energy.
Yeah.
But Liam, you've always been somebody who, like, I feel like you're pretty empathetic and I gravitate towards empathetic people. And just the way that you kept checking in following my grandmother's passing. And also, like, I don't even remember what it was, but there'd be occasional times on records where I would allude to being upset or overwhelmed. And I know you're like, which ones? Because that was all of them. But there were more specific ones. And you just have always had kind of your finger on the pulse of that. And I think that you are a good human for that. And also just... what I like about, because we've talked about this relationship where it's kind of like we're siblings, where we will yell at each other in the streets of Vancouver, but we still, like, coming on and seeing you, it just, like...
We all always make it back together.
Yeah, it was, like, I felt like a balloon had, like, blown up in my chest just seeing you on my screen again.
Same.
And so that's, I think that's how I feel about you. And then for Brooke.
Thank you.
I feel like we kind of had this. Oh, it was the friendship question, yeah, right? Do I need to answer it for Brooke too or just Liam?
I don't know. It says for each other. But we can just answer for Liam because we did kind of just talk about this on Funko Friday.
But yeah, Brooke is, well, I'll answer for Brooke. Okay. I was just thinking about this. I'll give a different answer actually this time. But she's almost, and I've always loved animals, but she's informed my having a little bit more compassion. I will never like cockroaches and I will always want to kill them. But just the way that she shames me for wanting to like be mad at an animal and just, I don't know. I feel like I've always been envious of the way that Brooke is just very, you don't hold on to grudges. You don't like hold on to emotions. And it's just kind of like, okay, I'm upset right now. Okay. And then we move on. And it's just, and that's it. And it's like, I was just literally, this is weird. I'm thinking about all this the other day. I was like, you know what? I don't have to worry about Brooke ever being like, well, I'm not talking to you because I'm mad. And that was how I like, that's something that I'm working to unlearn.
Yeah.
Because somehow Brooke missed all of the toxicity that so much of our generation seemed to get. So she's teaching me every day, even if I don't want to learn.
Good.
Fuck you.
Sometimes I go to bed and I'm like, is she learning or not? I'm just kidding.
I'm not.
I'm reviewing my notes and progress would tell me.
Okay. Liam, the answer is very similar for both of you because, like Arisha said, like the three of us, my favorite memories of like trips and things are the three of us. And like, it's really hard as an adult to find friends that you feel like yourself around or you feel like you can just be a fucking lunatic around.
Yeah.
And that is the two of you. Like, I laugh the hardest when I am with the two of you. Like, I just have memories of Liam hiding in the curtains up on the phone.
Oh my God, with Uber Eats trying to be like, where is our food?
Or Liam in the front seat of an Uber. Speaking of Ubers.
We got it. We have to tell that story because this perfectly encapsulates like what I'm talking about. Like,
was that San Francisco?
It was San Francisco.
It sure was. Okay. It absolutely was because we were down, of course, for your birthday.
Oh, right.
And by the way, this was also like, this was actually quite early doors into my even working at Rich End. I mean, formerly Daily.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of a bit of a big swing for like, obviously you guys had traveled together. There's no worry there. But like introducing me into the mix was kind of, you know, a bold gesture.
Yeah.
And I remember we're going to San Francisco. We're there for Risha's birthday and we're getting into an Uber back from the restaurant. And I do indicate because I message because I even when, if you're traveling with like more than two people, the second you're in three territory, it's like sometimes tough for the car to make it work. Right. Yeah. So I was like, just letting you know, we are three people. Can you accommodate? He said, and he messaged back, no problem. I was like, great. So the car pulls up. And so Risha and Brooke tuck into the back seat. And by the way, these are like tiny little cars.
Yeah, it's.
And so like, we're like really already kind of sardinesing our way in. And then in the front seat, I sit up front because like I'm the guy. So I'll, you know, and he's a male driver.
Liam's protecting
so I sit
us.
Up front.
Yeah.
You know, Liam Main's protector. So there's that. And then I go to sit in the front seat and it's really angled like, quite forward and quite down, actually. And I at any point, I sort of expect him to go, oh, well, you know, I'll adjust this because someone's about to sit down.
Uh-huh.
And when Famies, when I tell you that I was sat so forward in that car, I may as well just been on the dash or like on the windshield.
Well, the best part. You tried to adjust it. And when you did that, it went even further forward. And Arisha and we weren't saying anything because we were like trying to be respectful of like being in this guy's Uber.
But you were also looking for your phone.
And this is how we got to my phone. So we were like, I was like, we got to take a picture of Liam because he looked fucking insane. He was like practically through the windshield.
I was on. I should have just been on top of the car.
Honestly, it would have been safer probably.
So we're like, I was like, take a picture of Liam. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't find my phone. I was like, I left my phone at the restaurant and I start panicking. And I'm like, Arisha, call. I was like, somebody call the restaurant. My phone's there. And Arisha calls it. It starts ringing in my lap. So I have the phone the whole time. This car ride was just utter fucking chaos. That Uber driver probably still thinks about us.
Oh my God.
I will never not laugh thinking about that moment. Like, it's so fucking funny, him sitting in that seat and us just looking at each other what is going on?
Did we ever get a picture of it? Because if we did, we should post it in Patreon.
I don't think we did.
Oh,
I think
that's devastating.
Maybe we tried, but it
was... Because I think there was... Maybe there was such a scramble around getting Brooke's phone. I'm also... Like, it's funny. It's just, I do think about how much I was sandwiched inside of that front little compartment. And it's, like, honestly, it's, like, Liam Garrow, cause of death, asphyxiation in the front seat. Just, like, fortune cookieing his way into that Uber.
Oh, my God. It's just the best. Oh, my God. It was so funny. But, like, that just, that is, and I told Ross, like, every time the three of us would go on a trip, I'd be like, all right, I gotta go here and fight with my siblings. But it really is that relationship, and it's just I just love it. Like, we truly, like, you just kind of come alive
so lucky
with certain people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's you guys.
I remember, actually, just to put a pin in that before we move on, I remember the, like, one of the first times I hung out with Brooke, because it was because Brooke, you graciously hosted me one of the times I came to LA. So it's I met you first, and then I connected with Arisha.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were just hanging out in your apartment, this was, like, literally day one, and we were just, like, sitting watching TV, and you actually turned to me and you were like, it doesn't feel weird how quiet it is.
Yeah. Because that's something you think, like, about when you're, like, hanging out with someone for the first time. It's like, oh my God, what are we going to talk about? Okay, well, we had some other stuff, but as I assumed, this went long. Because I was like, once the three of us get going, time will be an issue. And we still have to do the burn book version of this. So Liam is also sticking around for the burn book. So if you subscribe to that tier on Patreon, you will hear him there as well. If you don't, what are you doing?
Come on, guys.
Yeah. What are you doing?
And we're going to ask the real hard-hitting questions on burn book. So
Yeah.
This fluff piece.
No, but honestly, like, if you are signed up for any of our tiers on Patreon, we love you so much. We know that this world is terrible and money is tight, and it means a lot to us that you are using any of that to be with us. So thank you. We love you. You can follow the pod at Almost Famous Pod. You can follow us at Arisha Skidmore Williams and at Brooke Sifrin and at Liam Garrow.
Boom.
Follow the pod wherever you listen. Rate, review. That helps us a lot. Tell your friends. And we love you.
Yes, we do.
We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.